Hello and welcome to Launch. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host is Bill McHenry. Bill, how are you doing today?
Absolutely terrific, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, doing super. Just had to fight the Atlanta traffic to get here. Well, you know, Bill, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business. That includes both the planning that precedes the launch, the actual launch, and then the missteps and the successes of the launch so that our listeners, the entrepreneurs, and the product developers can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we're featuring Gary Sullivan of All Star Marketing. But before we get started, Bill, can you thank today's sponsor?
I sure will, Ron. Today, our sponsor is Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing is your one-stop source for all your marketing, sales, and business development needs. We customize and implement a business strategy to help build your business, grow your sales, grow your business, and encourage your success. Ron, you know, today I'm really excited because we're going to have Gary Sullivan on our show and give you a little bit of Gary's background. Gary is actually with All Star Marketing Company. He has 10 years of, he's been with the company for 4 years. He has 10 years of experience in the catalog industry as well. He actually was a buyer for the Wine Enthusiast catalog. And prior to that, he was a buyer at Caldor Stores up in Boston. Many of our listeners may not recognize the name All Star Marketing, but they'll certainly recognize some of their products. You've seen the topsy-turvy tomato plant on TV. And one very special one that I know everyone will recognize, Ron, is All Star Marketing or All Star Products Group was the first company that brought the, I always say it's the backwards robe, but the Snuggie to the United States. I want to welcome Gary to our show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Forward to our chat.
That's right. Well, you know, Gary, you know, I think it's everybody, every inventor or a product developer's dream to get a product on TV. You know, how do you know if you have a TV product? You know, what's the criteria?
Well, it's a great question, and there's a pretty good joke around here. The more we know, the less we know, you know, in this business, because it's very difficult. Even our success rate on TV, you know, is always a challenge, but we do try to stay within, to give ourselves the best chance of success. We try to stay within our 7-point criteria, and the questions we ask ourselves on every product we go through is it unique? And, you know, it seems like it's kind of simple to say, is it unique? But actually, many people don't ask themselves, is it truly unique? Is it really solving a problem that much differently? Is it mass market? If you're going to advertise on TV, you are paying to advertise to everybody, so you have to really make sure that it's mass market, because to get response, you have to try to hit every consumer. The simple thing, what makes people actually, the third criteria is problem solving. And if you actually are solving a real problem, you know, it could be some products are, you know, products in the market looking for a problem to solve, really. You know, they're really a solution to nothing. So we get presented a lot of stuff, but problem solving is one of the key motivators for people to pick up the phone, which is part of direct response television. The fourth one is a price right. We have very strict criteria in terms of what we're looking for on a pricing scale. Can it be made for, you know, $3, $2, $3, $4 and sold for $19.95? Because that's just the metrics and the math involved, the formula that's been proven out for years. So priced right is the fourth category. The fifth one, and we'll dig into more of all these as you guys want to, but is it easily explained? Typically, you have 2 minutes or less to explain the product, and you really can't go through a long explanation. Hopefully, the consumer is going to understand it just with a visual, because it is a visual medium, the space that we play in, obviously, being TV. Is it age-appropriate? And what age appropriate means in terms of the 7-point scale is it the typical TV buyer is actually pretty older demographic, from the older demographic, and not that a product has to be geared towards them, but it has to at least appeal to them as well as a younger demographic. And then is it credible? Because some people go on TV and they've had pretty big failures because no one believes it. You know, you're already fighting the fact that the consumer doesn't know you as a company. So you're just going out there with this product. So the product has to be credible. So that's our 7-point scale. 1, unique. 2, mass market. 3, problem solving. 4 priced right, 5 easily explained, 6 age appropriate, and 7 credible. And those are the questions we rate every product that comes in the door on. And we do get pitched a lot of products.
Okay, well, Gary,
you mentioned demographics. What are the typical demographics of a viewer on TV that watches a As Seen on TV spot?
Well, the demographics of each station are certainly different and where you can advertise. The typical direct response As Seen on TV buyer, the consumer who picks it up, tends to be women over the age of 50.
Really?
Those are the major... The two things. So it typically has to at least appeal to them. If you're not appealing to that crowd, it's very difficult. Now, there is, we always say that those 7 things give you the best chance of success, but I have seen items that have all 7 of those fail, and I've seen items that have 2 of those succeed. You know, it's just about increasing your odds. Any campaign can go on TV and work. I mean, it just is. I mean, there's things out there that have worked that don't meet any of those criteria. But if we're going to invest in 60 to 80 commercials a year trying to find 15 or 20 winners, we're going to try to stick to what gives us the best odds. But each individual product could work on TV. I mean, we've seen crazy ones, and the Snuggie does actually end up fitting a lot of those. But, it may not have seemed like a massive problem at the time. But
it's still a backwards rogue.
Yeah, exactly. The consumer seems to have thought it was a bigger problem than maybe even we wanted to believe. So sure. Moving those arms underneath a blanket is apparently a big deal.
Gary, I was thinking as an innovator and a product developer, what do you have to do to get on TV?
To shoot a commercial, anyone. I mean, you don't have to be a big marketing company or even a marketing company like Allstar. Anyone can actually go on TV if they shoot their own commercial. You can talk to media agencies. They can help you buy it, or you can call your... I mean, I've seen inventors shoot their own commercial in their house and call their local cable station and run some spots. Obviously, you need to build a website. Those campaigns typically don't work because it's a very hard thing. I mean, we're in the business of failing, 6 or 7 times out of 10, on a good day, we fail more than we succeed. So these types of things, when you do it yourself, it's a very hard thing, but anyone can actually go get on TV. It's not like, the market's closed to the inventor. We have our process where we work with with all the different networks, and we kind of know where things, depending on the product, if it's a kid's product, we go towards Nickelodeon-type stations, Disney-type stations, and if it's a different type of product, we certainly go in that, towards those stations.
You don't just work with inventors, though, do you?
We work with, other large companies who have items that think that that might need direct response. We use the word partner around here very strategically. Depending on what the, it depends on what the business relationship is. Doesn't matter in terms of the, is it a royalty? We like to use the word partner because we want everyone involved in our creative and our approach. But, we market for other large consumer product companies out there in the direct response space. We've taken items that are on the market already, as well as items from a drawing. We've worked on everything in between. And it all is about finding the right product to meet the metrics I talked about. And get the consumer to pick up the phone or go online and as they say yes. We deal in the ultimate focus group, which is the consumer. Anyone can sit in a focus group room. When everyone's seen those focus groups and the consumer says they're going to buy, we actually put a commercial out there and ask the consumer to buy. That's what we do.
Okay.
And we see what they say. So it's the ultimate focus group.
Well, Gary, what's the best way to launch a TV product?
Through All-Star Marketing.
Yeah,
of course, that was an easy one.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. But, I first heard of All-Star Marketing when I saw an Inventor's Digest article about a product that you guys developed called Smart Span. I don't know, that might be before you came with the company. But that was just...
Actually launching right when I started.
Oh, okay. And that was an incredible commercial. I mean, it was, you know, very well put together with the lady opening up the cabinets and all the pots and pans in the world fall on top of her head. And it was just really super.
It was, yeah, the commercial certainly hit a sweet spot. It was a big value. So people were picking up the phone and ordering. You know, they had to. They didn't want to wait until it was in retail. You needed it right away. That's part of what we do is to say you need this right away, you know, so we can gauge response and see how successful it is. You know, what TV does is it's just an indicator of really the business model we're in is try to advertise on TV and go to retail with a large, you know, large orders at retail in the best spots in the stores like Bed Bath & Beyond and Target and Walmart and Walgreens and CVS and in case of the Home Depot, Topsy Turvy and like Mr. Steamy, which is a dryer ball product. All those types of things. All the retail stores are actually giving the As Seen on TV category more space, and so it's even more important to fill that space with great hot product. So they're giving it more space, and we're finding more and more products, and we're launching products. So I would say, you know, one of the good ways to launch a product on TV is through All-Star Marketing.
I
don't want to give you any other ideas.
When I talk to buyers around the country from, big chains like Walgreens to, small regional ones, the As Seen on TV area in the stores is one of the fastest growing areas and also one of the most profitable areas for these retailers.
Absolutely. I mean, years ago it was, an afterthought. And they would put it, maybe give it 2 or 3 feet. Mm-hmm. Now, then it became 4 feet and an end cap, and now it's an end cap in the front of the store plus 12 feet, and it just grows and grows and grows because it's volume. Once you're on TV advertising and the consumer recognizes it, and a lot of people ask me this question and they talk about that As Seen on TV logo, which anyone, it's public domain, the As Seen on TV logo, anyone can use that. Just putting that on your box does not actually increase sales at all. What increases sales is the customers actually seeing it on TV and understanding the product. That's the driver of volume and driver of sales at retail, not the logo. And we've actually done tests on that, which have proved that out. The consumer needs to see the product on TV, and it is a very profitable category for all the retailers, so they're giving it great space. And we're doing but we need more, We always need more items.
Sure. Gary, explain to our listeners, I know a little bit about the As Seen on TV space and working with, you and I've had a lot of conversations about a product that we're trying to market. And when someone approaches All-Star Marketing, the actual TV spot is actually more often a money loser or at best break even. Where you really start making money is when you hit retail. How do you get into the retail? Can you explain to our listeners?
Sure. I mean, the As Seen on TV is a very, very risky space because the retailers do love the category for multiple reasons. But one of those reasons is that it is high volume that we've talked about a little bit, and it does drive people to the stores to find these items, and they do pick it up, and they just do a lot more volume. But the retailers, when you load it into the retail, it is a guaranteed sale. So if it does not sell, that means we are getting it back. So if we load in 1 million units or 2 million units of retail and it doesn't sell, that means we own 2 million units in our warehouse very quickly because they rate this category on a weekly basis at retail, and they make sure that the volume is there and that the items continue to sell. Otherwise, you just don't. We go through, we're a vendor of record in every major retailer, and you have to be to do this type of business. But the retailers are very, very much on top of this category because they're giving it such important space now that they have to be on top of it. But you are guaranteeing every sale, so you have to be able to support the retail with TV. And that was just what you talked about, being around break even or what we look for is to be able to have some dollars coming back against our TV, and then we're making money at retail to support that TV. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point, hopefully, and that's why we test a lot of products and not all of them go to retail. Sometimes we shoot a commercial, we go through and test the media, we set up a website, we do all this stuff, and the item just does not work. It just does not sell, so we actually never go to retail with those items. But if we can come around in around break-even or a little bit better, that's when we go to retail.
What's the life cycle of a product, Gary?
That is a great question. Wow. It is. It really depends, and that's one of the things that we at All-Star are trying to certainly change about the TV business and extend these brands like Topsy-Turvy, and Snuggie, to be long-term brands, something like the Benderoos for kids, these types of items where we have additional SKUs and stuff. The old life cycle of a TV product would probably have been about 18 months. They come in, they're super hot, they're big on TV for a while, you see them, then they end up at retail, and then after 12 to 18 months, you start seeing them on closeouts, and it's done. Because it was a flash in the pan. Now what happens is the consumer is so well trained, the products are much, much better products today than they used to be. The customer satisfaction with a Snuggie blanket is off the charts. There's 80% people who bought a Snuggie want to buy another Snuggie. It's consumer products companies don't see those types of numbers. So we're thrilled with that type of number, and it continues to be a brand. We've been selling that now. We've been at retail for 2 years already, and this year right now is trending to be as big as last year in terms of some of the stuff we see. Now, that being said, we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter. The bulk of the business is in the fourth quarter, obviously, on a blanket.
Didn't I see a baseball game this summer where they had Snuggies and everyone had a Snuggies on or something like that?
We actually did a basketball game with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
And we might have done the Angels. There was a baseball game as well, but I know more about the one with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We set the Guinness Book of World Record for kind of a weird Guinness Book of World Records thing, but people in one building all wearing blankets with sleeves at one time, which is kind of a unique record. But we are the proud owners of that.
That's
now, were you the one responsible for the idea to do that?
No. That was we actually have our brand and PR department that handle that part of it. I was helpful in getting the item into the building here for All Star, and then we kind of the rest of the people took it from there. I don't want to take too much credit,
When did you know it was going to be a success like it was? Was it right away, or did it take a bit?
No, we knew we had something when we tested it in August of 2008, and we were testing a blanket with sleeves in August. It's probably either one of the two hottest months of the year, and we were getting tremendous response in August, so we knew we had something. So that's when we really started loading up on inventory and really started reacting to it. So we knew pretty much right out of the gate, but it was odd because of we didn't know the timing. August, testing something in August like this, we had always planned on testing it later in the year, but the commercial was done, so we figured we'd put it up and see if we can get a read and get a little ahead, and it worked out very well.
Well, Gary, every inventor or product developer's dream is to get a licensing deal. How do licensing deals work?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we do is look for unique products to bring to market, and we do that by talking to people like you guys or your listeners and your audience that have unique ideas that are on the market or in their head or what it might be. The licensing works where, in our case, from an All-Star's perspective, we actually invest everything into the commercial. We don't ever actually ask for any money. We are looking to invest in 60 to 80 projects a year, but we are only looking for those items that fit the criteria, and then we pay royalties. Typical royalties, we've always said the industry standard is 2% of TV sales and 4% of retail sales. So if it's a $20 item, 2% is 40 cents an order. And those are the likely numbers, and we go through and we negotiate all the different things. You know, if there's annual minimums that must be met to keep the rights, it all depends on patent pending, provisional patent. All those things go into consideration when you get into these licensing contract discussions. How we do it, we review a lot of product. We come back and we say yes or no. And then at that point, we start negotiating after we've said yes, you know, because there's no sense. One of the things a lot of inventors do, and this is, you know, and this is probably for a lot of people, you know, it just makes sense, but it's so tempting to start talking about this stuff because every inventor is passionate and they love their item and they think it's going to work. And that's part of the fun of the job that I love is getting that passion from the inventor. But they try to start negotiating these licensing contracts too early, you know, in the process. Let a company review the product, make sure they're on board with it, or you're just going to waste someone's time negotiating contracts that will never go anywhere. We won't even talk about deal points until we actually have reviewed it and said yes. And a lot of inventors want to spend their time, you know, just say you get 15 to 20 minutes with a product review panel, whatever it is, or person, it's hard to get us on the phone. I mean, we're looking at a lot of things. Don't spend your time negotiating a deal that might not exist. Spend your time trying to, you know, talk about the item and what has happened with the item rather than trying to negotiate up front. You just see it all the time, and it just is not a very good business practice. But I would suggest all the inventors do things under non-disclosure agreements with every company, no matter who you're working with. Have a non-disclosure agreement in place just to protect yourself.
You know, Gary, if someone were to license to All-Star Marketing, then who owns the actual product? Does the inventor or the entrepreneur still keep the rights to it, or does All-Star take rights to it?
In terms of the – I think you just asked two different questions. Who owns the product? The inventor always owns the product.
Okay.
They will always own the product. What they've done is license the rights to All-Star Marketing, and what we will do for those rights is pay a royalty on every sale and meet annual minimums of number of units moved. And if we do that, we will keep the rights for another year. If not, the inventor gets the rights back. The inventor always owns the rights, but they have licensed them off to somebody in our typical royalty licensing agreements.
Well, when you look at how many units can be moved on TV, I mean, most inventors dream that, you know, millions and millions will be sold. Can you give us any kind of averages on, you know, lower and upper limits of how many products, how many units of a product move?
Sure. There's the TV business model is very interesting because if an item goes on TV and it does not respond, I mean, you could literally sell 200 or 300 units, and then you're done, you know. And that's what does happen sometimes. And when you do your initial TV test, and it doesn't work, so the answer to the minimum is, you know, almost nothing. You know what I mean? Like virtually nothing. I mean, it might be 100 units, but you could also test. And once it tests and runs a lot of media, you know, we have moved upwards of in terms of the smart spin you talked about, is in the 20 million range, 20 million units. And then you're talking about the Snuggie, where we're at, I think, 24 million units in that range going into this year. So there is certainly some good revenue and dollars to be made on these big items, and even the little items, because even the littler items that we call little, we're going to move a million units. And that's a lot of money at the end of the day.
That's incredible.
So if something really works, something rolls out to retail, typically you're going to sell, you know, a million of something very quickly. But, again, the low point is zero, and then you're in the millions.
Well, I heard some people tell me that they'd seen Snuggies for dogs. I mean, I didn't see it on TV myself, but is that true?
We do. We do have a Snuggie for dogs, and it was very, very successful, actually. It's a it's like a blanket with you know, that goes on and slips on, and we do have a commercial for it. It did not run as much as the original, but we do have a commercial, and it was a very, very successful line extension. And we consider that what you talked about in terms of the life cycle of a product, the branding of a product to extend past the original item. You know, we have Snuggie for dogs. We've got actually dog blankets that have like nesting nooks in them under the Snuggie brand. We have all sorts of different styles of Snuggie, from Sherpas on the higher end to, you know, the basic $14.95 blanket, fleece blanket. So when you try to talk about the lifespan of the unit, that's what we do, and try to brand, line extend, and create more things like the Snuggie for dogs. And we had collegiate Snuggies with, you know, places like, you know, all the big football schools and basketball schools out there have a Snuggie branded version of their blanket. So
yeah, I'd heard
of today at the hardware show this past year. I think I saw a booth that had all the football teams, or maybe the college teams, with the logos on Snuggies.
Yep, we actually, because that was a company that had the relationships with all the different colleges, and we didn't necessarily do that. So we worked out a smart business relationship that made sense for both, and they've been very, very, very successful selling the collegiate Snuggie to not only, you know, college bookstores and all that other stuff, which we really don't have all those relationships. We actually went out and made a smart deal. They have actually had some success at retail as well, selling to places like Kohl's and, you know, stores that make sense that can regionalize their distribution.
Sure. You know, Gary, one of the things that when I introduced you, and you and I spoke a few times before, was that you were a buyer for a Keldor and also for a catalog company, and then you've been in sales for a long time, and as I have. When I'm traveling around the country and meeting different people, there's a lot of people that really don't understand sales and what they really need to do to sell someone like a buyer at Keldor years ago. Can you help our listeners and maybe give them a couple tidbits on what they could do to make their sales pitch stronger?
Sure. First off, I wanted to say thank you for the introduction. I forgot to do that at the beginning.
Sure.
I apologize.
Of course. Thank you for being on our show.
And, yeah, I do have a kind of unique background in that I was in sales and also as a buyer. So I do have two different viewpoints on the aspect. I certainly enjoy the buying, merchandising end of it, like that I'm in now. For myself, I find it more enjoyable. And
you know, because you can say yes and no.
Exactly. That's what I like. The sales guy. What my suggestion would be, though, is to recognize that everyone's busy, including, and no one wants to waste any time, because this is everybody in the world is, you know, running around, and so don't go in expecting to have a 2-hour meeting. Go in and hit the points right away. Give someone the main what the best of what you have is. Tell them all the points. If you get a meeting, or if to get a meeting, say, this is why I think I should have a meeting, and do it quickly. You know, don't. Sometimes people are just, you know, out there to from sales. They just want to keep talking, thinking something's going to happen. Everyone's grown ups. You know, give it to us straight. You know, right away. Say, this is the deal. This is where I am. And don't bring a bunch of, you know, information, because I have to go back, and I have, you know, we have people who look into all this stuff, and it will come out. Whatever you've done in the past with this item, whatever history it is, will come out. I mean, there's just no burying it. It's all out there on the Internet. It's all out there in the history. So come straight up and tell me exactly what's been done with this item, exactly where you are, why it's great, why you think we should invest in it, and just tell me right away. And if I say no, you know, for various reasons, don't be offended by that. It's just to save your time and my time. And that's just the way it is. If I don't see it as a fit for this business, then it's probably not a fit, though I have missed some in the past. But don't, you know, and don't take that as, you know, an offensive answer. I always say the best answer is yes. The second best answer is a quick no, so that you understand from a sales perspective or an inventor or someone who's launching a business that at least you can spend your time wisely. And so if I give people quick no's, sometimes they get, you know, like I didn't give it a full review. I give every item a full review. I consider everything the potential to be our next Snuggie or our next topsy-turvy. So don't be offended if I say, no, that's just not going to be a fit for us. There could be a million different reasons why it's not a fit for us. And, you know, so that would be my number one goal, though, is assume you're going to get 5 to 15 minutes and make the best of them.
That's
sure,
good.
Sure.
Well, Gary, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Through our website is probably the easiest, and we do respond to all emails and submissions. Probably we have a product submission that you can do on our website, or you can just email like through our contact link on our website is allstar, allstarm, as in marketing, G as in group, .com, allstarmg.com, and it shows all our different products and all the different things we've done, answers a lot of questions, and I'm sure we'll bring up more questions once, because everyone's case is different, but we do review all those items. I review them. I spend a lot of time on them, and we do license things. We're looking to shoot 1 to 2 commercials a week, so we are actively pursuing new items all the time. So we're always looking for the next item.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on our show today, Gary. I mean, All-Star's got just a stellar reputation in the industry, and our listeners have gotten some really great nuggets and learnings that they can use in their launch and journey.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Was another great show, Bill?
Gosh, it really was, Ron. It was great to have Gary on. I should also let our viewers know that I actually presented a product to Gary in All-Star Marketing for one of my other companies, and Gary said no, and it shows that I didn't hold a grudge, and he told me why he didn't think it would work, and I pushed back a little bit, accepted it, and now he's on our show, and we keep in touch, and we do a lot of networking together, so it's something to keep in mind. I also want to give a special thanks to today's sponsor, Ron, Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing. Entrepreneur Sales and Marketing go the extra step so you don't have to fret. Visit our website at www.entrepreneursales.com.
And tune in each week at this same time to listen live, or go to our blog at thelaunchhour.businessradio.com to listen at your convenience. This is Ron Reardon and Bill McHenry signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.